Mr. J. Burns, reel two. What kind of reputation did Russian convoys have with seamen at that time?
Very frightening reputation. Everybody wasn't very happy about going because we'd heard that some of the convoys had a rough time. But as it transpired, the particular convoy that we were going on at the end of June, it was the worst convoy of the lot as regards casualties.
Did anybody try to get out of the Russian convoys when they heard that they were going?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No.
Nobody tried to desert?
I never heard anything about that.
Now, can you take me through Convoy PQ-17 in detail, step by step?
Well, we left Gurukh with I would say about 10 ships, and we moved up to Hvalfjordr in Iceland, and the convoy was gathered up there to, I think it was about 35 ships, which left Iceland the beginning of July, and we headed up towards the Arctic Circle, and we were spotted by a German spotter plane, a Blumenvoss, which circled the convoy, and we knew then that we were going to be in trouble. We were attacked a number of times by low-flying torpedo bombers from Norway. There were one or two casualties, ships casualties, and we had picked up approximately 90 survivors from two different ships. And the Zamalek, the sister ship who was also in the convoy, she had also been picking up survivors.
Do you remember any of those sinkings that you witnessed at close hand?
No, it was just a case of seeing a ship being hit by a torpedo and us turning round and letting the scramble nets down the side of the ship and going alongside the survivors and helping them aboard and getting them down into the hospital.
Did they stand much chance?
No, it really wasn't so very cold early on like that. It was later on that the water got very, very cold further north as we proceeded. The worst bit about the thing was on the 4th of July, the convoy, the escorts of the convoy, the destroyers, were told to return to the the ocean escorts, which were the large warships, the likes of King George V, battleships and aircraft carriers, which were further away. They had apparently been told that the Tirpitz was on its way out from Norway, about to attack PQ-17. And the destroyers of the convoy escort were ordered to go back to help the ocean escort, which was the big ships, as I said. We were left with just the corvettes and the trawlers and minesweepers to defend the convoy. However, eventually the order was given to scatter the convoy once again. That would be late on in the evening of the 4th of July. And we, the Zafaran, went away on our own as fast as we possibly could, make for Archangel or Russia, White Sea. However, in the morning of the 5th, a bomber caught up with us and bombed the Zafiran. It was a near miss. It wasn't actually a hit on the Zafiran. It was a near miss, which split the propeller shaft tunnel and caused her to sink. I was very fortunate. I didn't get my feet wet at all. I was able, with another member of the crew, to get a little jolly boat that was supposed to have jammed. However, we managed to free it, get it over the side and get into it, whereas most of the crew had to scramble onto rafts. However, we were only in the jolly boat for about 2 hours when our sister ship, the Zamalek, came along and picked us up. And we carried on independently. Eventually, a little convoy was formed with one of the anti-aircraft warships, the Pozharika, I think it was, or the Palomares. We formed a little convoy of about 4 ships. And we managed to go along the edge of the ice field to Nova Zembla, which was 2 islands. I think it's a Machocan Strait, they called it. It separated these 2 islands well to the east of the White Sea. We stayed there for 2 days, and then...
What happened during those 2 days?
There was conferences between the captains of the ships that had survived and the Palomares, who was the senior escort at that time. He was the only escort, I think, at that time, to try and decide what was best to do next. And...
Did you have plenty of food and water?
Fortunately, we had at that time, yes, there was plenty of supply. The Zamalek, who had picked us up, she was fairly well overloaded with survivors. She had about 100 of her own, plus our 90, plus our crew. And she was pretty well getting stretched as regards rations, right enough. However, we weren't in any discomfort of any kind at all.
Or suffering from cold?
No, we're all right that way.
Was everybody depressed or not?
I don't think they had time to be depressed. They were more frightened, I think, than anything else. They were, wondering what's going to happen next. Are we going to make it? Or
was it fear of any further enemy attack?
That was it. That was the main thing, because there were submarines about, and the aircraft were just they were having a go at us as well.
Can you describe where you made landfall on Nova Zemlya? What, where the area was, what it looked like?
It was very barren. There was no sign of any living people at all. I don't think there were. Never saw any houses or huts or anything like that.
Any animal life?
No, we didn't see any animals. We were in the straits between these 2 islands. And we just sat there, anchored, waiting, wondering what's going to happen next.
So did you not set foot on shore?
No, there was no one allowed ashore. I think everybody was just ready to move at a minute's notice and get... however, I think we were there 2 days, I think.
Was there any snow on the land?
No. We'd come down from the ice field down to Nova Zembla, and there was no sign of snow there either, no.
What was the weather like whilst you were waiting there?
It was fine, clear and dry, yes. Oh, no problems that way.
Could you see any vegetation growing on the land?
Oh, there was trees. No, just trees and grass, that was all.
So, were you privy to the discussions which were taking place?
No, we weren't. It was just the captains of the ship, maybe their first officer. That was all who went over to the... They went over to the Palomares to discuss what was happening with the senior officer.
In small boats?
Yes, aye. But there was no one allowed ashore. They just went over to the ship and this little conference, and it was decided to get cracking and make our way down to the White Sea. And apparently there was promise that we'd get Russian support, Russian escorts to help us, which we didn't see. We were attacked just as we got to the White Sea. We were attacked again by the aircraft, and there was no sign of any Russian aircraft to help us in any way at all. And I think we lost another two ships out on our way in.
Can you describe how they were lost?
Bombed. Just bombed, hit by bombs.
Any survivors?
Yes, that was more survivors to be picked up by other ships. We were very much overloaded at the time. The Zamalek was very much overloaded at the time. Other ships had to help out. However, eventually we got into Archangel, and we were put up in a hospital. They called it a hospital, but I'm afraid that it wasn't very nice at all, and the food was very basic, and black bread and raw fish, and it wasn't very pleasant the first two or three days there.
What was the sleeping accommodation like?
Oh, just bunks. It wasn't beds at all, it was just bunks in this sort of hospital.
Was there any staff there to attend to you?
There were staff there, and there were casualties that had arrived also in the convoy, previous convoys. I remember one little lad who had lost both his feet because of frostbite. He'd been in the water for some considerable time. He was a cabin boy, and he came from Cumbus Lang, just outside Glasgow. I can remember him.
Did you see the operation?
Oh, no. Well, this had happened before we arrived, even a previous convoy to us.
What did the attitude of the Russians to you seem to be?
They weren't very nice to us at all. If we went for a walk or tried to go for a walk, we were stopped every so often and asked where we were going, who we were, and they weren't very good at the English, and we didn't know what they were saying. We had been given little cards to tell us who we were, and we could get sort of rations with this card.
So they weren't very compassionate about it?
They certainly were not. As I say, every so often they want to see this pass, and so we were more or less confined to the one area for some time.
Did you try to tell any of the Russians what the convoys were going through?
I think they knew. I think they really knew. We were quite surprised at the work the Russian women were doing. They were driving tram cars, sorting the roads and unloading the few ships that did come in. They were on the dockside unloading them. That was it.
Did they speak? Any of them speak to you about the war?
No, not really.
What impression did you get of conditions of everyday life for the Russians living in Arkhangel?
Oh my goodness, it was real rough, very rough. They were having a hard time. They must have been. I didn't fancy their way of life at all, I'm afraid. Of course, they were suffering right enough on different war fronts they were on.
Can you give examples of what their standard of life was like?
The children kept chasing us and asking us for chocolate or anything like that, cigarettes or anything like that. We were very low. But fortunately, they asked for volunteers to go and boiler clean one of the escorts that had arrived. And I in particular remember going to the Dianella, which was a corvette, to help with this boiler cleaning. And the signalman there happened to be a lad from Glasgow, whom I knew, and he, what we called, lashed me up with the chocolate and cigarettes, etc. We played football and tried to pass the time as best we could.
Did you give anything to the Russian children?
Yes, occasionally, yes. Oh, yes. We give them a bar of chocolate or something like that.
Was Arkhangel being attacked by the enemy?
We had a couple of raids. I can remember distinctly a couple of raids where we... quite a few of us ran out from the hospital where we were supposed to be staying and sheltered under logs of wood. However, there was very little damage done, although they dropped some bombs. Oh yes, they tried to attack the ships that were in Arkhangel.
Was there any form of entertainment other than playing football?
No, I'm afraid not. No.
No clubs?
There was the tourist, what they called the in tourist hotel. I never managed to get to it, but I believe some of the lads got. I never managed to.
What else do you remember about being at Arkhangel?
Getting my hair cut by a lady barber. A young lady who cut her hair. And I think she got a packet of cigarettes. We didn't have any money.
Did that satisfy her?
Apparently so.
How long were you there then?
Maybe 8 weeks.
Was there anything enjoyable about the 8 weeks?
No. No, I was awful glad when we were told that we were going back on the Rathlin, another rescue ship.
Can you tell me about the Rathlin? How she compared with the Zafarin?
Very much the same type of ship. A small, 1,400 tonnes. A very small ship, competent, good crew. Captain Banning was captain of the Rathlin, I can remember him particularly. He had a short leg, but he was a very small man.
Was she the HMS Rathlin?
No, just the rescue ship Rathlin. It's the rescue ship. He was actually a converted coastal ship, same as the Zafran.
And what kind of crew did she have for the return journey?
She had mostly a Glasgow crew, funny enough, because she was a Glasgow-based ship, Clyde Shipping Company she belonged to. It was nearly all Glasgow people that were on her.
What preparations had to be made for leaving?
It was just the usual convoy conference. I think there was only about 11 ships survived out of the 35 which left Iceland. 11 ships survived, and they were gathered up along with the previous convoy, which was PQ-16. But the remnants of PQ-17 were joined up with the convoy of PQ-16, and it was termed QP, which was coming back to Britain. QP-15, I think it was.
Can you describe QP-15, as you remember it?
Yes, we had a good escort then. Quite a few of the escorts had been reinforced. And we had an aircraft carrier with us. But we were also, QP-15 was also attacked on the way home. We passed PQ-18, they were coming up to Russia, we were going back, and the convoys, the escorts changed over. One of the escorts I remember was the Lida, a minesweeper, which was sunk by a torpedo.
L-E-D-A.
L-E-D-A, that's correct, HMS Lida. And we picked up the Rathlin picked up the survivors from her. There was a severe storm on the way home too on that QP-15, and there was quite a damage done to some of the ships by the storm. It was very severe. However, we got back home eventually to Clyde, and I was sent back down to Chatham to get kitted out again, and then I got survivor's leave.
How did you spend that?
At home, trying to enjoy myself and recover from the effects of that PQ-17, which seemed to have an effect on me. I was a wee bit afraid of going back again. However, I went back.
Did you go back to rescue ship work?
No, not really. I went back to Gourock, and there was what they called a war special convoy going down to the Mediterranean. There were only four ships in that little convoy, and I was sent on the Commodore ship there. And we went straight to Gibraltar from the Clyde.
What
was that? Can I remember it now? Was it a castle boat, isn't it? No. I can't remember the name of the ship. It was a large, what they called, war special, and it was taking arms, etc., tanks and that, to the Middle East.
Why should it have been called a war special convoy?
They were Well, troop convoys, they were called war special troop convoys, likes of the big car, big passenger ships, the Andes, and carrying troops were war specials. And also ships that were taking arms to various theatres of war, they were called war specials as well. I can remember being told it's a war special convoy you're on, and you're only going to Gibraltar. And we got there, I can remember particularly it was what we call Hogmanay, which was the 31st of December. And I thought, what a way to spend New Year's Eve, arriving in Gibraltar. However, I had an excellent time. The garrison down at Gibraltar, they seemed to have an awful lot of Scots fellas there, and they certainly made the most of a New Year's Eve that night. And I was there for maybe 10 days at Gibraltar, and then I sent in a convoy, joined a convoy coming back to England again. I think I finished up in England, didn't I? Yeah, that's right. Then I joined another rescue ship, the Eddystone, around about the end of December, end of February 1943.
How did you
She
come
was
about the
a
others?
sister ship to the Rathlin, a Clyde Shipping Company also. She was a sister ship to the Rathlin, sorry.
Did you have a Glasgow crew as well?
Yes, mostly Glasgow crew, and but there was two of us, two signalmen on them by this time, which meant we could do watches and weren't on so long duties. The other signalman was George Irwin, who in peacetime was a banker, and who came from Clitheroe in Lancashire, and he and I got on very, very well. Kept in contact after the war.
What kind of duties did the Eddystone have?
The same, similar, picking up survivors, if any, and giving medical advice to anybody in the other ships who required it, because we had a doctor and a sick bay attendant, and frequently we got requests for medical advice for somebody who had taken ill on board some other ship in the convoys.
Whereabouts was she operating the convoys, the
Oh,
Eddystone?
mostly from Gourock or the Clyde over to Halifax. I think we did another trip to Gibraltar on her, but mostly it was